We're taking our Bible reading this morning from the book of Ruth and chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 and commencing at the opening verse. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And he took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. The woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. We'll end our reading there. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. I'd like you to open your Bible again with me, please, at that portion of Scripture that we read together in Ruth chapter 1. In the verse 3 it says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons." Then the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Very, very simply this morning, we want to focus ourselves and our minds on the story of the three graves in Moab and the story behind those three graves. I'm sure you're very much aware that the book of Ruth, while a very, very small book indeed, consisting of less than 100 verses in all, and yet if someone was to preach their entire lifetime upon it, they could never exhaust its teachings. One Bible commentator says of the book of Ruth that it is a garden enclosed. It is a mine filled with the rarest of gems, a treasury of illuminating truths. Now, in the book of Ruth, there are many different scenes. There are scenes that are tragic, and there are scenes that are domestic, scenes that are romantic, scenes that are dramatic, also scenes that are historic, but also scenes that are prophetic. Yet each scene is a mind that is filled with rare, precious, and spiritual gems. It is one of the two books in the Bible that bears the name of a woman. There is Esther, and Esther was a Jew who married a Gentile. Then there is Ruth, and Ruth was a Gentile, and she married a Jew. But when you look at the entire book, it is a story of redemption. It is a beautiful picture of Christ's love for you and for me and for the redemption that he purchased for us at the cross of Calvary. Actually, the key word and the key thought in the book of Ruth is that of a kinsman Redeemer. And as you read through the book of Ruth, you will find this wonderful story of redemption, reminding us that Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Now, the opening scene, the verses that we read together, they are tragic, and they confront us with three graves in Moab. But the story behind those three graves is very, very important. Very, very applicable to you and to me. Because what happened really shouldn't have happened. Didn't have to happen. But it did happen. Three graves in Moab. As we come to look at the verses that we read together, I want you to notice, first of all, their departure. Because what happened was very, very sad. Elimelech and his wife failed to trust God in hard and difficult and trying times. So much so, they plucked up roots. They moved out. And it didn't augur well for them. You know, the last verse of the previous book, the book of Judges, very, very important and really sets up the scene. Because if you cast your eye there to verse 25 of the previous chapter, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Then it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That produced one of the saddest, one of the darkest periods in all of Israel's history, when everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. In other words, there was the absence of a ruler in the land, which resulted in the absence of righteousness in the lives of the people. You see, folks, it is the same with you and with me. When the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not ruling and reigning in our lives personally, then there will be no righteousness. But when one has made Jesus Christ Lord and King of their lives, they will no longer be doing that which is right in their own eyes. They will be doing that which is right in the Lord's eyes. And that is the true picture of someone who is genuinely converted by God's grace. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But if you find someone who's doing everything that is right in their own eyes, not in God's eyes, then that will ultimately one day spell doom in that life. Now, sadly, there's many a child of God, and they have taken their eyes of the Lord, and they are doing their own thing, what is right in their eyes, instead doing what is right before the Lord. Result of that tragic condition, no king in Israel, everybody doing what was right in their own eyes, it resulted in a famine in the land. Because in verse 1 of Ruth it says, now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled when there was no king, and everybody was doing their own thing, that there was a famine in the land. And of course, when you study famines in the scriptures, they were often a sign of God's displeasure. And God often used them to bring the people to repentance and faith in himself. It was a sign that God was not happy with the behavior of the people. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 17 reminds us of that. And the Lord said, and then the Lord's wrath was kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now, the famine that God gave in Israel, revealed that there had been a natural departure, a national departure from the Lord. The nation had turned away from God. Now that nation was suffering the consequences of their disobedience, because the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So to the flesh you reap a harvest, so to the spirit you reap a harvest. So to the flesh you shall of the flesh reap corruption, so to the spirit you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting." And the nation was now reaping the consequences of their disobedience and rebellion in the matter of doing their own thing, going their own way. The famine was a revelation of the folly of their own life. But also in the opening verses of the book of Ruth, you not only see a national departure from the Lord, but you see a personal departure from the Lord. Because the Bible tells us that Naomi and Elimelech, they left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, Elimelech and Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And so what you really see is their departure out of the land in hard times, which was actually expressive of their departure from God. They left Bethlehem, Judah. Now, the name Elimelech, and you see, names in the Bible also depicted the character and conduct of the person, or indeed the city. And the name Elimelech means, "My God is King." And that reminds us that that particular individual had served God, had lived for God, had done what was right before God. But then there came hard times in his life. And instead of trusting God in the hard times, he plucks up his family, takes them out from the famine and into the land of Moab. It was a big decision and it was a bad one. The Bible says in verse 2, the name of the man was Elimelech, Ephrathites. And of course, that word Ephrathite means fruitful. So the picture of that particular man was of one who lived a righteous, godly life, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord previously, and that produced a fruitful Christian life. Something that God expects of us. But then, sadly, that disappears. And he moves away. And he goes into the land of Moab. It was an act of disobedience. Of course, you will know that the name Naomi means pleasant. And again, reminding us of the contentment and the happiness there is in living for, walking with, and obeying the Lord. But then she, like her husband, now reminds us of how that joy and happiness in Christ can be lost through an act of disobedience, of doing what seemed right to them. It seemed right to leave Bethlehem, Judah, get away from the famine, get into the land of Moab. But it's depictive of someone going out of fellowship with the Lord. And sadly, it's reflected in many a life today, with the result that when Naomi ultimately came back to Bethlehem, she said to the people, "Call me no more Naomi, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Call me Mara," means bitterness. Now, thinking about the story of their departure, there is, first of all, the place they leave. The Bible tells us in verse 1 that they left Bethlehem, Judah. Their home was in the town of Bethlehem. It was in the country of Judah. And the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And Judah means praise. And what actually happened was this. They were leaving the house of bread. They were leaving the land of praise. They were going into Moab, which God said was my washpot. It's a picture of a child of God who's backslidden. And the joy and happiness to be in Christ is suddenly gone. And that's where David the psalmist found himself through sin, with the result that he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy." He didn't need salvation, he was saved, but he lost the joy of it. He said, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Friend, have you lost the joy of serving the Lord? Lost the joy of walking with God? Lost the joy and the thrill of your salvation? You see, there is no greater place to abide than in the will of God. There's no greater place to attend than the house of God. You see, to abide in the will of God fills the heart with heavenly praise. To attend the house of God will fill your soul with heavenly bread. They left the house of bread. They left the land of praise. But it's not only the place they left, but then the place they live. We read there, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now in Psalm 108 and verse 9, we find a very interesting description that is given of the land of Moab. We read where the Lord says, "Moab is my washpot." And all the Bible commentators, they put it together simply saying that they left the house of bread, they left the house of God, they left the land of praise, and they went to live in a spiritual dustbin. Just because it come into hard times. When you're a Christian, you will come into hard times in your Christian life. And to run is foolish. But in those hard times, you need to trust God, because he's the God of the hard times as well as the God of the good times. And he did say, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." But they lost sight of the Lord here. So they went to sojourn in the land of Moab. Now when God said, "Moab is my washpot," that is so depictive of what God thought of Moab. Because God frowned upon the Moabites. They had a very, very sad history. Its people were an outcast people. And of course, we all know the story behind the Moabites. They remind us, the whole story reminds us, of course, of a believer who at one time, God was king of their life. They were doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Then in hard times, they turned away from the Lord. And it brought devastating results into their life. They went to sojourn. But then we read that they came into the country of Moab and continued there. You talk to any backslider, they never intended to backslide. And they never intended to stay in that state. But then the problem is this, folks. Sin takes us all further than we want to go and keeps us longer than we all want to stay. Makes us pay more than we ever wanted to pay. And it is so in the story of Ruth. And her in-laws. With the result that while they just went to sojourn, they finished up making Moab their home, and they lived there 10 years. And they found this, that the way of the transgressors hard. I know that the devil often says to people, no, it's the way of the Christian's hard. It's not, folks. The way of the Christian shines more and more unto that perfect day. But the way of the transgressor is hard because the devil pays bad wages. They settled down in Moab with the result that their children took wives of that race of people that God despised. We read, they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years. And marriage with the pagan nations was forbidden by God regarding the nation of Israel. But then we want to move on, not only from their departure, because the story of Elimelech and his family can be told by many. And as you travel around our own congregations, there are a multitude of people who used to love the Lord, walk with God, were enthusiastic for God, but not find Him there today. And like this man, Elimelech, they left off. But not only their departure, but then we see in these verses their disappointment, because the cost of turning their back upon Bethlehem, Judah, the place of bread, the place of blessing, that was a very, very high cost indeed. They may have thought moving out in days of famine, it was the answer to everything. But always remember this, folks. Outside the will of God, hell begins. Did for these people. And the hand of God upon them was severe. The Bible tells us that Elimelech died. The Bible also tells us their two sons died. But there was a bigger issue than that. That meant one terrible calamity. For that man to die, for his two sons to die, his family line was blotted out. And that was a calamity to any Jew. So you begin to see the price that is being paid. They set out to gain in times of famine, but they're losing everything. Like the prodigal son who left his father's house. He set out to gain. He lost everything that was precious. The Bible says he spent his money in riotous living. And he wasted his substance. He spent all. And that produced a harvest that he never ever anticipated. A Jew who is not even allowed to touch a pig is feeding them and eating their very meat. And in this story, Naomi is left a lonely, bitter stranger in a land that were enemies of God. That had been spawned in a cave of incest. away from the land of Judah. And you see, folks, when we fall into a backslidden state, there is no knowing where that will end. And the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. And certainly Elimelech didn't live unto himself. It affected his whole family and blotted out the family line. Everything was lost. Now, thinking about their disappointment, we see their first disappointment there in verse 2. It says, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the names of their two sons Mahlon and Chilion. And we said, of course, that names are very, very significant and often depict the character and conduct of the individual. And the name Mahlon means sickly, ill, unhealthy. Where Chilion, his name means pining and wasting away or something that is puny. And even the children's health must have been a terrible disappointment to their parents. But even in that situation, they should have trusted the Lord, not have moved them to somewhere else. Now, there's many a fine, Christian, godly individual, and some of their offspring are not well, and has got nothing to do with their departure from God whatsoever. But in this case, they should have stayed in the land of Judah. And of course, God dealt with them patiently, no doubt. But then came his rod of chastening. You see, the very names of the children would seem to suggest that God had been speaking to them. And then you see a further disappointment here, because we read in verse 3 that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And he has taken his wife out of Bethlehem, Judah, just because it seemed better and better prospects in Moab. Now he's dead, and she's left stranger in a strange land. And then in verse 5, the two sons, they also died. You know, folks, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and the Corinthian church boasted itself that it was more spiritual than anybody else. And yet when Paul wrote to them, he said, I couldn't write unto you spiritual, but as babes in Christ. And when he wrote regarding their very abuse of the Lord's table, he said, for this cause, because of their abuse, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And what the Apostle Paul was saying there, because of their spiritual departure, God had dealt with them. He says, some are weak, some are sick, some are even dead. Because of their abuse, even of the Lord's Supper. You know, sadly, some people put emphasis upon the Lord's Supper that it shouldn't be put upon. For example, a man said to me one day, and I didn't really know him that well. He said, Mr. Moore, I've left my church. He belonged to a particular Presbyterian church. He said, I've left it. Oh, I said, why'd you leave it? I said, I thought I heard that your minister was somewhat evangelical. Yes, he says, I've left him. And I says, well, why did you leave him? He says, he wouldn't let me take the Lord's Supper because I'm not saved. So he says, I went to another one and I can take the Lord's Supper. But I said, you're a fool. And that first man was your friend. Now you eat and you drink damnation to your soul. And I said, if you read the story of the Corinthian church, on that very, very issue, how the Lord dealt severely with them. And he always deals with us patiently, folks. And when we sin against him, even when there is backsliding, always remember that the Bible says he's married to the backslider, and he loves us freely and forgives us freely, and he wants us to return. But when there is no evidence of return, and God speaks in other ways, as he did to this family. So the picture is this, folks. A man and a woman who loved the Lord, dwelt in the house of bread, the house of God. In hard times, they couldn't trust God. They plucked up their roots. They moved out. They moved into Moab, which was a washpot, a dustbin, spiritually rejected by God. With the result, a man's two sons are dead. There's three widows in that awful predicament. He hadn't lived unto himself. What he did affected everybody else, and he blotted out his entire family line in Israel. Then we see Naomi's desire. And her desire was to return home. Just like the prodigal son, she has obviously come to the end of herself. And the Bible says of the prodigal son that he came to himself and said, "How many hired servants have my father? Bread enough and to spare, and I perish in this wilderness. I'll arise and go to my father's house." And then the Bible says, he and here these three lonely, grieving widows are left in Moab. And no doubt, as Naomi would have walked through the cemetery in that awful place, she would have thought in her heart, why did we ever leave Bethlehem, Judah? Why did we ever come to this place? How did we ever get to here? No doubt she'd have recalled the days of happiness when she, with her husband, walked with God. But we read that she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. She heard. And you see, sadly, when one falls into a backslidden state, the thing that happens, folk, the devil dulls their ear to hearing. But God is opening her ear again, and the Bible says she heard. And it's always a dark day in our lives when we don't hear God's voice. And that's why it is so important to take time in God's word, to read his word, to meditate upon it, and hear what God has to say. And if we hear what God has to say, then it will not result in us doing our own thing and what is right in our own eyes. But it will result in doing what's right in God's eyes. And so the Bible says she arose. She heard that the famine was over, how that God had visited his people. That had created in her heart a desire to return. But the important thing is this: she had heard the good news. And you see, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Listen, folks, there can never, ever, ever be a substitution for the preaching of God's word. A church can conjure up all the activities it likes, but if there is not an ear to hear the gospel, no change in people's lives. You see, first of all, here her repentance, because it is very interesting to note the details of the scripture and the details of the actions described. It was not that she might just return to the Bethlehem Judah, but return, in verse 6, from the country of Moab. In other words, she will not get to Bethlehem Judah without leaving Moab. The sinner will never get to heaven. Never. Without leaving the country of sin. Friend, if you're not saved and you want to get to heaven, you've got to leave your sin. Because, as the hymn writer says, there's a city bright, closed are its gates to sin. And the book of Revelation reminds us that there shall be no sin there. And that's why Christ came to this world, to bridge that gap between that great gulf between God and man. And he is our door to heaven. And when a person like Naomi gets right with God, there will be repentance. There will be a leaving of the old past life. She could not take that with her. She must leave it. And you know, sadly, we're living in a day, even with Christian people, they want the best of the world and the best of the Christian life. It doesn't work. And then you see her return. Because the Bible says there, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So she left Moab behind. Now she comes to the place of blessing. Sadly, while Ruth came with her and finished up very well, Naomi's counsel doomed Orpah. Because when Orpah and Ruth said about coming with her, your people will be my people. Your God will be our God. She counseled them to go back. Stay in Moab. Worship. Christian, never, ever, ever take any counsel from a backslider. Naomi counseled Orpah. With the result that Orpah went back and we never read of her again. Lost in a land that was cursed by God. And friend, if you're not saved, never ever take counsel spiritually from someone who doesn't know the Lord themselves. I know of a fella, and he was so anxious about his soul, and he didn't know what to do. And he was over in Scotland, and he just walked into a church and listened to the service. And then at the door, he said, the minister, could I talk with you? And the minister said, you most certainly can. He says, look, I just feel so lost, and I want to be saved. What do I do? He said, pray the Lord's Prayer. And just send him away. And Naomi had given bad counsel. You see, her husband's actions in leaving Bethlehem Judah in hard times, going into the country of Moab, she lost his family. And he lost the family line. Now Naomi gives counsel to a daughter-in-law, and that daughter-in-law is lost. But Naomi, she returned to the place of blessing. She comes back to the will of God. She leaves Moab. She returns to Judah, Bethlehem, Judah. Leaving the place of sin for the place of salvation. Oh, you know, the words of William Kirkpatrick's great hymn are very, very true, even applicable in this situation, applicable to us all. But he says, I wandered far away from God. That was Naomi and the family. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Is there someone here not saved? Is there someone here who's a backslider? Is it not time to come home? Make a new beginning. Let the Lord restore to you the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. And Ruth went on to find great redemption in her kinsman redeemer, in Boaz, who's a wonderful picture of Christ. For with God there's mercy, there's forgiveness, there's restoration and salvation. Glory. How do we fit into this picture? Are we like Naomi hearing the good news? And then, friend, come to the Lord.